So today I'd like to look at the ninth case from the record of Empty Hall, 100 classic koan, translated by Dosho Port. The record of Empty Hall in Chinese is Shu Tong, is the author and compiler of this classic book of koan, which is used in the Rinzai lineage. In this book, Shu Tong added a short capping phrase or ending to each case, which adds a vitality and a currency to the writing. The book features some folks we've already met in our koan curriculum: Yunmen, Nanchuan, the layman Pong, to name a few. But many of the cases introduce new folks to us, or possibly people we know from our own reading. Today's case is one of those, and it reads like this. Han Shan asked Feng Gan, "The old mirror isn't polished. How can it reflect a candle?" Feng Gan said, "A jar of ice has no shadow. A monkey gropes for the moon in the water." Han Shan said, "That is not reflecting the candle. Now please explain." Feng Gan said, "The 10,000 virtues are not in the future. What is there to explain?" Then, as Shu Tong, Empty Hall, does in each case, he added, "Because I got it." Some of us here were actually introduced to Zen and Taoism by Han Shan. In the 1950s, up until the 1970s, a certain demographic knew him through Arthur Whaley's 27 Poems by Han Shan, through Gary Snyder's Rip Rop, Rip Rap, and Cold Mountain Poems, and through Jack Kerouac's dedication to Han Shan in the Dharma Bums. Many others have since translated Cold Mountain's poems, Han Shan's poems. Burton Watson, Taz Kanahashi, and Red Pine, to name three. And if you enjoy good poetry, you will enjoy Han Shan. He was, as Jane Hirschfield wrote, he was of the social fabric and family, as well as of the monastery and mountains. He is the poet of parable, rebuke, and opinion, as well as of Dharma and mystery. He is a sharp-tongued observer of society's failures, describing inequality's effects on the spirit. And he was also a rapt solitary, sharing cliff-edge mind with tigers, free-drifting boats, and clouds. And for those of you who do not know his work, here are two short verses by Cold Mountain, which will lead back to the dialogue at hand. He wrote, "Rich people meet at a tall building decorated with shining lamps. When a woman without even a candle wants to draw near, they quickly push her away back into the shadows. How does adding someone diminish the light? I wonder, can't they spare it? And then this. Scanning the green slopes below, I discuss the profound principle with the white clouds. Though the feeling of the wild is in mountains and waters, truly, still, I long for a companion on the way. And one of Han Shan's two companions on the way was Fen Gan. He was a teacher, but what nothing was known of his lineage. I don't know who his teacher was, or whether he had heirs, but we do have a couple stories. Fen Gan, one time, showed up at the very sick local magistrate's home and cured him of his sickness. The magistrate asked where he lived and if he could recommend a Zen teacher for him. Fen Gan said he lived at Gyu Qing Monastery on Mount Tiantai. Sometime later, when the magistrate was traveling on business, he came to Mount Tiantai and the monastery. He asked a monk about Fen Gan, and the monk said his temple was behind the sutra storehouse. But at this time, nobody was there, except for a tiger, who was often present and roared at all except for Fen Gan. The governor asked, "What does Fen Gan do when he is around?" And the monk said, "He pounds rice all day and offers it to the assembled monks. He gives talks and responds to questions. And all through the night till the dawn, he enjoys himself singing." So this was Han Shan's teacher and companion on the way. So one time, and this is today's case, Han Shan asked Fen Gan, "The old mirror isn't polished. How can it reflect a candle?" Fen Gan said, "A jar of ice has no shadow. A monkey gropes for the moon in the water." Han Shan said, "That is not reflecting the candle. Now please explain." And Fen Gan said, "The 10,000 virtues are not in the future. What is there to explain?" Xu Tong, on behalf of others, said, "Because I've got it." The old mirror shows up often in Zen writings. Deng Shan brought it up, writing, "Having overslept, an old woman encounters the ancient mirror. This is clearly meeting face to face, and only then is it genuine." And Deng Shan also brought to us from his teacher the song of the precious mirror samadhi, which is in the Mountain Lam Sutra book, but I understand it isn't in your book. It goes like this, or it starts like this. It says, the Dharma of just this is passed down from the Buddha in confidence. Today, It is yours. Take good care of it. And then he writes a few lines later. When you face the precious mirror, form and reflection behold each other, and you are not him, and he is exactly you. So when you face the precious mirror, form and reflection behold each other, you are not her, and she is exactly you. The image of the old mirror represents the coincidence of opposites and the coincidence of mutuality at the very same moment. It is duality and non-duality again at the very same moment. And though it is impossible to adequately describe or explain, it is exactly so in experience. And if you would like to touch the experience, to see it revealed, let go of preference and aversion. Dogen said to study the Buddha way, the way of the ancient mirror, is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. And to forget the self is to be confirmed by the myriad dharmas. And to be confirmed by the myriad dharmas is to cast off the body-mind of both self and others. Hanshan said the old mirror is not polished. How can it reflect the light of a candle? I imagine at this point, Hanshan is either young in the Dharma or is simply giving his old teacher a push to see what he'd say or do. In the precious mirror, Samadhi Dongsheng wrote, "The Dharma of just this is passed down from the Buddhas in confidence, and today it is yours. Take good care of it." And Hanshan may be asking, what happens to the mirror if I don't take care of it? Does it dull over? Does it go blank? What happens to the mirror if I don't take care of it? So that may have been Hanshan's question. But my question for you is, do you take care of it? And if so, how? Before getting to Feng Gan's icy cold response to Han Shan's question, I'd like to tell you a little more about the mirror. About 100 years before this dialogue, the young Hui Nung, as he was returning from the forest with a bundle of firewood, heard a lone monk chanting the Diamond Sutra. He stopped and listened, and was completely taken away by this line, "Dwelling nowhere, bring forth that mind." Hearing that, something completely shifted for the young Hui Nung, and he went home and took care of his family's affairs, and then set out to find the nearby teacher Hong Zhen, someone we now call the fifth ancestor in China. So he stayed at Hong Zhen's, and after some time, the old teacher felt the need to retire and to name a successor. And so he announced a contest. He said whoever thought he might be ready to succeed to the teaching seat would that person write a poem, and Hong Zhen would select the winner, who would then become the teacher of the monastery. One night, the head monk wrote a verse on the wall of the monastery, and that verse said, "The body is the tree of wisdom, the heart mind, but a clear mirror. At all times, diligently care for it, polish it, so that it may remain untainted by dust." So the body is the tree of wisdom, the heart mind, but a clear mirror. At all times, diligently care for it, so it remains untainted by dust. According to legend, the young illiterate layman Hui Nong had another monk write his own verse on the wall after he had read the head monk's verse. He wrote, "The tree of wisdom fundamentally does not exist. And the mirror, too, has no stand. From the beginning, there's nothing at all. Where can any dust alight?" So the tree of wisdom fundamentally does not exist. The mirror, too, has no stand. From the beginning, there's nothing at all. Where can any dust alight? And Han Shan asked Feng Gan, "The old mirror isn't polished. How can it reflect a candle's light?" Feng Gan said, "A jar of ice has no shadow. A monkey gropes for the moon in the water." Jar of ice has no shadow. Bodhi really has no tree. The mirror has no stand, and from the beginning, there is nothing at all separate from anything else. A jar of ice has no shadow. These fiery words, cold and sparkling like ice and moonlight, is the very mind of Feng Gan. And even a Buddha cannot peer into the depths of that great heart mind. This is the experiential mind, indivisible, fully expressing this one unified moment. A jar of ice, no shadow. There is nothing else, and no interpretations are necessary. And those interpretations, when made, are simply monkeys grasping at moonlight in water. Rather than letting things be what they are, we add and we subtract. We are, after all, a storytelling species. And there is a vital beauty in this. We create untold unfolding depths of mysterious affinities and entanglements. And those allow us, in a good way, to more fully engage in the unknown of this timeless moment. Yet it is important. It is essential too, at times. Maybe now. Maybe now during this retreat, to let the stories go, to let the narration drop, to forego the additions and subtractions, and return to what is given, a jar of ice, no shadow. In koan work in the Dokusan room, the teacher, we continually say, stay with what is given, as the student insistently adds her ideas, his feelings, his projections, her needs. Stay with what is given, a jar of ice. No shadow. Stay with what is given. Moonlight reflecting on the newly budding maple tree. Stay right here with the snorting of the dawn's deer outside the zendo. Stay with what is given. The first rumblings of a 16-wheeler on the not distant enough interstate. Rather pastoral, I know, but true also with a gunshot, with a scream, with the ripping of metal. Stay with what is given. And you will intuitively know when to run for help or when to flee. Nothing else right now is necessary. Just stay. We make things personal so quickly. But if we just stay with what is given, the personal, our need, our insistent, or our insistence will drop, will let go, like wind on a spring day blowing dust that then has nowhere to alight. Han Shan followed up Fengon's response with this. He said, that is not reflecting the candle. You're giving me the not side. The not side of the mirror, the not side of the light. Please say more. I find this to be an interesting statement. I hear him saying, okay, you were telling me about the dark side of the moon. The not reflecting side of the mirror is reflecting. But show me how that is here now. What is its activity? How does the not reflecting function? Tell me about the lighted side of the moon. I get not mine, not Buddha, not beings. But tell me, what is it? And Fengon said, the 10,000 virtues are not in the future. What teaching can I express? The 10,000 virtues are not in the future. What teaching can I express? Each thing is right here, showing itself in its brilliant, clear fullness. Though clouds freeze and cover the mountains with snow and ice, the entire world remains unhidden. The gray heron in the morning's fog, snow in a silver bowl, are still exactly what they are. Each, no matter the circumstance or condition, is still radiating since before the eons of emptiness. You can be discouraged, terrified, you can feel neutralized. You can be disfigured, broken, or worse things than I know to imagine. And still, and yet, the 10,000 virtues are not in the future. This is the eternal rock bottom optimism of Zen Buddhism. No matter what, still. No matter what, yet. Yet all beings by nature are Buddha. And so on behalf of others, Xu Tong said, because I've got it. Because you've got it. Because we got it. The mountains, the rivers, and the great earth, and all her many beings, sentient and insentient, now or to be, have got it. Because they, you, me, are it.